Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Evangelist Donald Perkins. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message. And without any further ado, I would love now to introduce the speaker of this morning. He's worldwide. He goes from state to state. He has his own television station called According to Prophecy Ministries. He's on his channel. And listen, download his app. If you go to According to Prophecy Ministries in your app store, download his app. And also, after the service, in the, we call it like a little reception hall right here, not the main fellowship hall, but just through these doors, or you can walk around. He's got a huge table there with all his books and DVDs and CDs. And man, I'm telling you, I met him several years ago. I remember he only had two books. And now there's about 50 of them out there. I'll tell you, man, God is doing something mighty in this man's life. And I believe the last place you were, it was what state were you in? Kentucky. My goodness. Man, he's everywhere. I'm going to call you the omnipresent brother. He's everywhere. Amen. And so we're mighty thankful to have him here. We've been announcing him for about 2 months now, and we're mighty thankful that he's here. Let's give God a shout of praise for Evangelist Donald Perkins.
Amen, Pastor. Pastor, I count it an honor and a privilege to be with you.
Oh, bless you, brother. Bless you.
Thank you.
So just remember, you can go PowerPoint. And
awesome.
Right there.
Awesome.
So let me get there. That's you right there.
Okay, outstanding. Pastor is a tech preacher. And I really like that because he's really, really, I mean, got it together. I got to tell you. I'm a tech preacher as well. I do like technology, and we should use it for the furtherance of the gospel. And again, I'm grateful. I see some faces that I know from way back, Bible study as well. I mean, and again, it's just a privilege. Bishop, so honored that you would come and be with us today. And again, just everyone that's here, we're going to have a wonderful time of prophetic study. I'm going to mention a few announcements before we get started here. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring in to the screen here. We have a number of materials in the adjacent hall here, as Pastor shared. I have a number of books that we recommend. This one book is called Exploring Bible Prophecy from Genesis to Revelation. This is a wonderful series that you may want to add to your library, but it covers all the prophecies in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. A great, great study. And here's another book entitled, A Quick Look at the Rapture and the Second Coming of Jesus Christ. My message this morning, I'm dealing with the rapture of the church, but a lot of people, they mix the rapture and the second coming. And because of that, it has created so many problems in the church. This book will help you, and we're going to see some beautiful things. Now, my message I'm sharing this morning is entitled, The Rapture of the Church. We'll go in depth to look at it. We also have a DVD set called The Twofers. And here we have the Rapture and the Second Coming DVDs together. These are designed, again, to give you clarity and understanding in regards to it. Now, we have a series we're doing now on his channel. We have a TV program. I'll talk a little bit more about that. It's called Your Future in Bible Prophecy. We're doing a verse-by-verse series on the book of Revelation. We're actually up now to, I think it's program number 63 in the series on Revelation, but I brought some here with me. This is a number of DVDs we have from the study. Each DVD has three of our TV programs on it. We also have it in a USB form as well. You can get it there for those that have smart TVs. We do have it there. Now we have our Bible Prophecy Manual, which is a user-friendly guide designed to help you understand Bible prophecy. We have a pull-out chart, which is a dispensational chart. It's a chart of time. And this chart is designed to take you through from the present age all the way to the eternal state. I'm going to use this chart a little bit this morning in the presentation. Now, we have a website. We've been online since 1995. Our website is www.according2prophecy.org. We're also part of the social media platforms. You can find us there as well. We are on the Truly Family Entertainment Network. This network is owned by Chicken Soup of the Soul. This is their religious arm. You can go there, and we have a lot of material there, as well as our YouTube channel. But I'm really honored. We have a program, Your Future in Bible Prophecy, on his channel. Our program airs every week on Thursday as well. You can go to the site there, or either go to our website, and you can link from there. But you'll see our program as a 30-minute program that airs every week. Now, we also have Pastor Shad about our app store. You go to any one of the app stores, Google Play, Roku, Apple TV, any one of them. You can go and download our app. We have a lot of materials there, videos there as well. We have a lot of things there that are designed to help you understand Bible prophecy. Now, my message today will be entitled The Rapture of the Church. Now, what I want to do, I want to open in prayer. And I want you to follow me as we begin this study. So bow your hearts. Father God, we love you. And again, what an honor, what a privilege it is as we spend time with you in the Word. Lord, it's an honor to serve a creator like you.
Yes.
Lord, there's no God besides you. There's no God besides you. And Lord, again, we just thank you. It's a privilege to stand before your people this morning. Now, Lord, we ask this morning by your Holy Spirit, as we go into the Word of God, we ask today that you would open the Scriptures to our hearts.
Yes.
Let our hearts burn within us as you teach us truth regarding the blessed hope of the redeemed. Now, Lord, we love you and we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. My message this morning is the rapture of the church. And I want you to look at this little picture, because this will be the event that will literally take place. Every one of us that are born again will be affected by the rapture. Whether you got your views wrong about it or not, you will be affected by the rapture. This is a glorious event for the redeemed. And again, we're going to see some beautiful things. Now, I want to bring in our prophecy chart. And again, this is a chart of time. And right now, we're currently in what's called the church age. This is the dispensation or the period of time where we are. The next major event on God's calendar for the church is that event called the rapture of the church. Every one of us will be affected by this event. Now, there's another event that would take place called the second coming of Christ. It's totally different from the rapture. We will be a part of this event first, and then we'll literally come back with Christ in the second coming. But we're going to see some beautiful things this morning in reference to it. Now, I'm a topical teacher, so I'm going to give a number of topics. Some of these topics I'm going to hit pretty fast, but we're going to give you a number of topics. First, I'm going to define what is the rapture. What is the rapture of the church? Then we're going to see the timing of the rapture. When will the rapture take place based on Scripture? Then I want to show you the doctrine of imminence, or a doctrine of imminence. And I'll explain to you what that means, because it's really important. Then we're going to take a closer look at the rapture text. I'm going to give you the text. I'm going to read it first, and then I'm going to come back and give you some clarity on the text. Then I'm going to give warnings against dating the rapture, because a lot of people like to date the rapture. Then we're going to look at benefits of the rapture. Then I'm going to show you the difference between the rapture and the second coming. And then we're going to close up what should be our attitude regarding the rapture of the church. Now, each one of these topics here, I'm going to bring it back into the screen so it'll give you time to write it as we go forward. But we're going to, again, see some beautiful things from God's prophetic word. Now, we're going to look now at the scripture text on the rapture. So I'm going to quote the text, and you can just follow along with me. All the scriptures I'm going to give you will come into the screen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore," he said, "comfort one another with these words." Now, this is the rapture text, okay? I'm going to come back later, and we're going to go back through it to break it apart, but I want to give it to you so you know where it's found. And again, we're going to begin to break this teaching apart. Now, I want to quote here Dr. John F. Walworth from his book, The Prophecy Knowledge Handbook. Listen to what he says about the rapture. He said, the rapture of the church is always presented as the next event, and as such, one that is not dependent on immediate or preceding events. The rapture of the church, defined in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17, as being caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, is a wonderful truth especially designed to encourage Christians. You know, today we have so much debate about the rapture that people miss the encouragement of the rapture. People are so concerned, is it a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-rapture, that they debate about it and they miss the blessings of this event. The rapture message was designed to encourage you as a Christian. You know, I believe in the rapture so much, I take rapture drills. Listen, I'm encouraged by the rapture. I look forward to this event. And by the time we get through this message, you will look forward to as well. I want to also quote here Dr. Grant Jeffrey from his book, The Apocalypse. Listen what he says about the rapture. He said, the rapture is one of the most important doctrines in the Bible. However, many have avoided studying this subject because it is the most supernatural event in Scripture. Unfortunately, most discussions about the translation of the saints have focused exclusively on the question of timing of the rapture relative to the tribulation. While the timing is very important, many Christians have lost sight of the true purpose of the rapture. Although this event will remove the living saints to heaven to escape the Antichrist, its primary purpose, listen at this, is to provide all believers, living and departed, with their eternal resurrection bodies. Now, Pastor alluded to that when he first came up, talking about his body. The older I get, the more groans I get. You know, I call it the senior anthem. You know, you get up, oh, you know, I mean, I told my wife, I said, where did that come from? My wife said, sweetheart, it's automatic, you know. Senior anthems. Well, there's coming a day where we're going to have a brand new body that Jesus promised us. And that body will never, ever die again. It will never, ever have any more pain or sorrow. And again, we're going to see that as we go forward. Now, what is the rapture? So I want to define what is the rapture or the term rapture. Now, the term rapture does not appear in the English translation of the Bible. The word is actually taken from the Latin Vulgate translation of the scriptures. It appears as caught up in the English Bible, and in the Greek, it appears as the verb harpazo. Now, when I read the text here in 1 Thessalonians, you did not see the word rapture. You saw the word caught up. Now, believe it or not, many people have cast the whole teaching away because they didn't see the word rapture in the English Bible. You can just say the catching up of the saints. You're still saying the same thing. So in the English Bible, we use the term caught up for the word rapture. Now, the rapture in the Latin, it means to catch up, to snatch away, or to take out. The word harpazo in the Greek, it means to seize upon with force, also used generally as meaning to forcibly seize upon or to take to oneself. This is exactly what's going to happen at the rapture. When Jesus comes to rapture the church, he will forcibly seize us. He will take us. We will be caught up to be where he is. And again, it's going to be exciting, saints. Every one of us that are born again will literally be caught up to be with Jesus. I'm longing for the day. Now, you know, some people don't like the rapture because the rapture will interfere with their business. We're going to deal with that in a little bit. We're going to deal with that. Listen, I plan, I have future things I want to do, but you know something? The rapture can interfere with my day anytime because it's going to take us to a better place. It's going to be beautiful, all right? Now, let's go a little further. The timing of the rapture. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you some views that is commonly taught in regards to the rapture. So I'm going to give you these different views. Some of these views are really unbiblical, but I'm going to give them to you because these views are out there. And then I'm going to show you the view that I think stands the test of Scripture. All right? So, timing. Here's one of the first views. It's called the post-tribulational rapture. This view teaches that Jesus will rapture the church at the close of the Great Tribulation. So they believe that the church must go through 7 years of the Great Tribulation, and at the end of this tribulation, then the church will be caught up. Some have taught the church will be caught up, we'll go up, we'll do a wheelie, and we'll come back down. Unbiblical, you won't find it in Scripture. Not only that, but this view has a lot of problems, because at the close of the tribulation period, you're going to have the sheep nations that will be allowed to go into the millennial kingdom. And these people will be the ones that will literally populate the millennial kingdom. If all the church is raptured at that time, there will be no one here to populate the millennial kingdom. And again, that, you know, this is one of those reasons why this post-trib won't work. All right, here's another view. It's called the pre-wrath rapture. This view is one of the newest terms on the scene. This view teaches that the church will be raptured three quarters into the tribulation. So what they believe is that we, the church, will go through three quarters of the seven-year tribulation, and at the three-quarter mark, the church will be raptured. Now, the reason why they hold that view, they believe that the wrath of God does not come into the tribulation until three quarters in. But you got a problem with that. You know why? Because the first 3.5 years is called the wrath of the Lamb. You know, the whole tribulation is the wrath of God, even though it does get worse as you go, you know, to the end. This view does not stand the test of Scripture. And again, we're going to talk about that as we go forward. Here's another view. This is called the mid-tribulational rapture. This view teaches that the church will be raptured at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. You know, the Bible says that when the last trumpet sounded, the Bible said then we'll be caught up. Well, there are some trumpets that will sound in the mid part of the tribulation, but these are called trumpet judgments. This is not the trumpets for the rapture. People have mixed the trumpet judgments with the rapture, and you can't do that. The church will not be a part of the Great Tribulation. So therefore, this mid-tribulational rapture view does not stand the test of Scripture. Now, this is the view that I hold and teach. It's called the pre-tribulational rapture. This view teaches that Jesus will rapture the church, listen at this, before the start of the Great Tribulation period. Understanding the purpose of the Great Tribulation will clarify the confusion around the timing of the rapture. This view, I believe, stands the test of dispensational accuracy, or the test of scriptural accuracy. See, the church cannot go through the tribulation because the church is not a part of the Great Tribulation. The tribulation is mainly designed for the nation of Israel, although it will affect the entire world. But what's going to happen? God's going to take Israel through the tribulation, and what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation, Israel will cry out for Messiah, and the nation of Israel will come to a saving knowledge. The church would never accept Antichrist, but Israel will, and they're going to do that. The tribulation was never designed for the church, but it is for the nation of Israel. Now, let's go a little bit further. We're going to look now at a doctrine of imminence. And the reason why I want to give it is this is important. I know it may be a little theological, but you got to hear this. A doctrine of imminence. What is the doctrine of imminence? So I'm going to explain it. The imminent return of Christ is the teaching that Jesus will come back at any time. This teaching of imminence, or at any moment coming, is not a new doctrine. It was taught all through the Scripture. Now, what this means is this. The rapture is an imminent event, meaning it can happen at any moment. There's no signs for the rapture. I get a question all the time, Brother Perkins, what is the signs for the rapture? I tell them, I can't give you any. There are no signs for the rapture. All of the signs of the times are for the second coming of Christ, not the rapture. The rapture is an imminent event, meaning it can happen at any time. So in light of that, let me give you a few verses to show you what I mean. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 8, James wrote this. He said, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh," meaning you don't know when it's coming. So saints, he says, establish your hearts, because you don't know when he's coming. That's imminency. We don't know when he's coming. See, if you knew that Jesus was coming back 3 weeks from now, what would you do? You would change a lot of things in your life. See, Jesus is coming back for people that are ready for him, people that want him, people that are born again. A lot of people want to know when he's coming so they can change things in their life. No, you need to live a godly life every day. All right, here's another one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. Paul wrote this. He says, "That thou keep this commandment without spot." Listen at this. "Unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you're gonna keep the commandments until he come. You don't know when he's coming. So you're gonna live your life in light of his return. See, understanding these prophecies here will keep you on the straight and narrow. You know, Pastor, I can tell when a person don't understand the future by the way they live in the present. You have a lot of people that don't live like they're saved because they think they got all the time in the world. And I want to tell you something, you don't have all the time in the world because time is at hand. I'm going to give you another script. Look at this. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Peter wrote this. He said, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." He said, listen, the end of all things is at hand. So Christian, be sober and watch unto prayer. You don't know when he's coming. The end times are upon us, so you better live a godly life. You better live a sober life because you don't know when he's coming. Here's another one. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Paul wrote, "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Here, Paul said, looking for it. We don't know when he's coming, but we're looking. You know, I wake up every morning, Lord, this could be the day that you take us out of here. And with everything that's going on right now, boy, we are longing for that a whole lot sooner now. Lord, this could be the day. Lord, I'm ready for your return. And again, he could come and take us out. Now, I'm going to skip this quote because I want to go right to the text. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take you to the rapture text, and I'm going to begin to break it apart for you, give some understanding. Now, we're coming back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Here, the Apostle Paul starts off in verse 1. He says, in verse 13, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now, here's what he's saying. I don't want you to not have wisdom about your loved ones who have died. I remember, Pastor, when my grandfather died. I was a little boy. I wasn't a Christian at the time. I loved my grandfather so much. I loved him so much. I loved the way he smelled. He worked in a lumber mill. He would come home and smell like wood. You know, I loved that smell. And when my grandfather died, man, my heart was just aching. I thought I'd never see him again. He was a Christian man. It wasn't until I got saved and then God called me to the ministry that I understood that there's coming a day I'm going to see him again. Paul said, "I don't want you to be ignorant about your loved ones who have already died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." He said this, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," now this is a condition for the rapture. You must be born again to be raptured. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," listen at this, "even so them also which sleep in Jesus." If your loved ones believed on Jesus when they died, you're going to see your loved ones again. He put a condition on it. You got to be born again to be resurrected at this rapture. He said, "Even so them also which sleep in Jesus," here's the key, "will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together," "we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not," "coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now, I'm going to go back to the text again, the latter part. He says, "Those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, here's what's going to happen, saints. At the time of the rapture, the dead in Christ will rise first. The reason why the dead is going to rise first is because the dead is coming back with him. See, your loved ones, when they die, we bury their flesh, but immediately their spirit and soul goes to heaven. See, your loved ones who are dead right now that are born again, they are in heaven right now rejoicing, having fellowship. They're spending time with God. I mean, they're having a wonderful time, but they're in what's called the intermediate body or their spirit soul body. They're not complete because when God made man, he made us all spirit, soul, and flesh. We are triune beings. And that's how God always made man, and that's how we will always be in eternity. So what God's going to do, the scripture says, those who died that are born again, he's going to bring them with him. He's going to bring the spirit and soul of my grandfather to reunite with his flesh that we buried in Woodville, Mississippi. God's going to resurrect his flesh from the dust, and his spirit and soul will enter back into his body, and then my grandfather going to rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up with him. See, the rapture is a wonderful event because what's going to happen, it's going to cause our loved ones to come back into their flesh. But it's going to be glorified flesh. It's going to be awesome. Look what Paul wrote, goes on to say. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I want to stop there for a second. You know why I long for the rapture, Pastor? Because the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend. Listen, I'm born again. Jesus lives within me. But you know something? I want to see him. The rapture is going to usher me into his presence. I'm going to literally see Jesus. I'm going to kiss those nail-scarred hands. I'm going to touch him. What's going to happen? The Bible said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. He's coming back himself to gather the church. We will be literally caught up to meet him in the air, and it's going to be awesome. Paul said this. He said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. As I mentioned, the reason why the dead in Christ going to rise first, because they have an advantage. They're coming with him. Their spirit and soul is coming to get their body. He said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I love this. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, at the time of the rapture, you caught up. That is when you can breathe that sigh of relief. Lord, I've made it. Lord, the war is over. The fight is over. We'll no longer ever have to fight again, ever have a tempter ever again. Because what's going to happen when we are raptured and glorified, he's going to change this body. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But what's going to happen when he changes our body and our bodies are glorified, we will no longer have the sin nature ever again a part of our being. The war that's in our members will no longer be a part. And this is one reason why I long for the rapture. Let me ask this. Anybody tired of sin? Okay, let me clarify it. Anybody tired of sin in your life? Okay, every one of us. Every one of us. We have a war in our members. You know, there's times me and my wife get to talking, and there's times, you know, I may get angry. It's the flesh. I have to ask forgiveness. Babe, I'm sorry. You know, I'm tired of the war within our members. Once we're raptured and glorified, that war is over. We will never, ever have to fight lust or temptation or anger ever again, because we're going to have a body like his, and we're going to see it. Now, I'm going to close the latter part of this verse here. Paul said this, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, the rapture is a message of comfort and not a message of debate. People are fighting about this rapture message. I don't know why. They're fighting the rapture. I was preaching in Canada, and after I preached in Canada, this couple came to me. I thought he was going to fight me, Pastor. They were so mad. They were mad. Jesus never talked about the rapture. How dare you? And they just went at me. And I said, I began to minister to them, and I shared some things with them, some things that they didn't think about. But it just shocked me that some people hate this teaching. This is biblical. This is the word of God. I didn't make it up. I mean, it's in your Bible. Write the scripture down. I mean, this is scripture. How are you going to deny the rapture? Again, people do. Now, I want to show you something here. This is our chart again. And again, we're right here in the church age. The next event is that called the rapture. Now, I believe that the scripture gives us some understanding as to how the rapture would take place. Now, I'm going to share some with you. We have been taught that at the time of the rapture, we'll be caught up in a twinkling of an eye. Have you ever heard that before?
Yes.
We'll be caught up in a twinkling of an eye? Well, that's not quite correct. We will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. As fast as you can blink your eye, you will go from mortal to immortality. That's the change. But I believe the rapture, when we're caught up, I believe they're going to see our departure. Now, the reason why I say that is because every example of a rapture in the scripture, they saw them caught up. So let me give you an example. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, this is after Jesus had spent 50 days, you know, with his disciples. And this was right before he was leaving. And what happened, the Bible says he was there and his disciples, they gathered around him. And all of a sudden, the Bible says Jesus was caught up. And the scripture says that the disciples, they watched him go up. They watched him go up. They watched Jesus go up. They watched him get small, small, small. And then they couldn't see him anymore. And the Bible said they were so fixed on Jesus' departure that they didn't know the angels came around them. And what happened, these angels appeared around the disciples. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why are you gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you have seen go up into heaven shall so come back in like manner. the disciples watched Jesus rapture. So this is an example of the rapture with us as well. I believe the world is going to see our departure. We won't be caught up just like that. We're going to be caught and snatched, but we're going to be taken up, and the world's going to witness our departure. Here's another example. In the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, you have the two witnesses that God's going to use in the tribulation. These two witnesses, they will vex the kingdom of the Antichrist. And the Bible tells us that what's going to happen, these two witnesses of God, they're going to die in the streets of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that people will not suffer their bodies to be buried, because they're going to be so happy that these two prophets that vexed them are now dead. The Bible says for 3.5 days, these prophets, their bodies will lie in the streets of Jerusalem. But on the 3.5 day, the scripture says the spirit of life will enter into those prophets. And God will shout from heaven and say, "Come up hither." That's my Moses voice from the Ten Commandments movie. "Come up hither." The Bible said the two witnesses, they will literally be caught up. And the scripture says that their enemies will watch them go up into the heaven. They're going to be raptured right in front of their enemies. The Bible said they're going to watch their enemies, beheld them go up into heaven. When these two prophets go up, the Bible says God's going to cause a great mighty earthquake, and 7,000 people are going to lose their life on that day. I believe at the time of the rapture of the church, the world will witness our departure as a testimony to the word of God and a witness against them. Can you imagine? You out there witnessing and preaching somebody, and you sharing the gospel with them. You telling them, you better get your life right because the rapture's coming, and all of a sudden the rapture take place. Can you imagine what it's going to look like? I told you. You caught up. I told you. See ya. I'm out of here. I'm gone, baby. I'm out. Let me tell you, it's going to be a different world for those that are left behind. Our family members that we've been ministering to who don't want to receive Christ, our loved ones, our co-workers, people that we meet who don't want to believe the gospel. There's coming a day where they're going to believe the gospel, but they may be in jeopardy. They may be in danger of the great tribulation. So the rapture is going to be an event, and sadly, look at this, sadly, many people, even in the church, will be left behind. You know why? Because they never received Christ. See, some people are pew warmers. Some people are religious when they go to church. Pastor, I used to go to church. I used to go to church religiously. As a matter of fact, my mother sent me to church. Go to church. I would go to church. Wasn't saved a nickel. Singing in the choir, you know, wasn't living for God, wasn't thinking about God, it wasn't until I received Christ and gave my life to him that my life changed. My world changed. Sadly, many people will be left behind on that day, and it's going to be a different world for them. Now, I want to give some warnings against date setting. Now, some people today don't believe in a rapture because all of the rapture hoaxes in the past. Have you heard any dates people name given? I've had so many people because of this. Now, I've been teaching this July. I've been teaching Bible prophecy for 40 years, and I've been tracking these date setters for over 40 years. Okay, so I'm going to give you some examples of what I mean. This is a book that came out in 1988. It's called 88 Reasons Why. This man, Edgar C. Wisenhower, he was a NASA scientist. He figured out that the rapture was going to take place in 1988. And on the back of the book, it says, "On borrowed time." And people all across the country, they bought into this lie. I had pastors call me back then, Pastor Bishop Trout. "Brother Perkins, I got the book. What do you think? I said, "Well, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour." I said, "Listen, it's not going to happen." They said, wait a minute, it's going to happen. I said, "It's not going to happen." Guess what? It didn't happen. Listen, the scriptures is true. I don't care who they are. If anybody tell you they know when the rapture is going to take place, get from around them quickly, because they're a false prophet. All right, here's another look at this one. This book is called "The True Holy Spirit Comes from a Single Root." My wife and I was preaching. We did a conference in 1992. We closed the conference. And what happened, I was in the parking lot, and this guy came in with this track. He said, "The rapture's coming. The rapture's coming." I said, "Hey, man, you're singing to the choir, bro. This is the message I teach. I just closed the conference." Until the guy told me the date. He said, "October 1992, the rapture's going to take place." I said, "No, it's not, sir." He said, now look, I know what you're going to give me. No man knows the day nor the hour. I know the verse. He said, but what's different about this revelation is that Jesus didn't reveal this to a man. He revealed it to a little boy. This boy, a Korean boy by the name of Bing Ik Hak, he said that Jesus appeared to him and told him that the rapture was going to take place October 92 and that God was going to leave him behind to train the 144,000. Let me tell you something. Jesus will never appear to you and contradict his word. That was an apparition. If an angel come to you and tell you, here's the date of the rapture, you rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Cast it out of your house. Listen, no man knows the day nor the hour. This thing shook Korea. A lot of people sold their houses. Women committed abortions. They did all kind of crazy stuff believing this lie. All right, I'm going to bring you a little bit closer. 1994. How many have ever heard of Harrah Camping? Harrah Camping. Harrah Camping had one of the largest shortwave radio programs in the world, Christian radio programming, all over the world. And he wrote this book called 1994. This book was that thick, saints. I have it in my library right now, that thick. Harrah Camping was dating the rapture. And again, it was a false teaching. Not only that, he dated when eternity would begin. I said, man, you're making yourself equal with God. What was sad, many Christians followed this man. And it was sad. Okay, it didn't happen. Okay, but look what happened. In 2011, Harrah Camping came out with another book. It says, Time Has an End, A Biblical History of the World. Now, in this book, again, he dated when eternity would begin, but he said that the rapture was going to take place in 2011. So let me show you something. Anybody remember these billboards? They were all over San Diego. They were all over the country. They were all over the world, Africa, everywhere. Look at this. I'm going to bring it a little closer for you. Look at this. Harrah Camping said, Judgment Day, May 21, 2011. And then he said this. Here's what really what got me. See that gold, that yellow circle there? Look what he said. It says here, the Bible guarantees it. I said, the devil's a liar. Pastor, I was driving, Bishop, and when I saw this billboard, I stopped. I got out of my car and took a picture of this billboard. I said, I got to take a picture of this. It didn't happen. But what's sad, many Christians who didn't know the scripture, don't know what the Bible says about the rapture, they believe the lie. You go online right now, you see people on YouTube, they got old videos. They had one guy, he had a camcorder in his hand, and he was walking in between his home and his neighbor's house, and he was cursing Harrah Camping. He said, Harrah Camping, I believe the lie. He said, I stopped paying my mortgage, and I'm losing my house because of you, Harrah Camping. I said, you can't blame Harrah Camping, brother. You didn't believe the word. Yeah,
that's right.
Listen, saints, no man knows the day nor the hour. Right. Now, I'm going to give you one more. I'm almost done with this part here. Now, this one happened. This one's another one here, September 23rd, 2017. This one here really blew my mind because the number of Christians that actually followed this. This particular group believed that that the constellation was going to align. And that the sun-clothed woman of Revelation 12 was appearing, and because of this, the rapture was going to take place. It didn't happen. I did radio interviews coming against this particular view, and Pastor, you thought I spit on an angel, man, the way these people came at me. But I'm talking about Christians. Christians went after me with a vengeance. Now, this man is right. This guy is right. He had millions of viewers on YouTube. I said, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. It didn't happen. Because of these type of false teachers, many Christians have abandoned the teaching of the rapture. I want to say to you today, the rapture is a true biblical doctrine that you must believe and you must stand with. Okay. Now, in closing this, I'm going to show you one other thing. This was here in San Diego. This guy was actually believing that the rapture is going to take place in September. Look what he says. Wake up. Jesus is coming back. September 23rd, something wonderful. Google it. Google it. It didn't happen. All right. Now, we're moving forward. We're almost done. We're moving forward, though. Now, we're going to look at the benefits. There are benefits for the rapture. This is why I long for the rapture, Pastor, because there are much benefits for believers. So I'm going to show you the first benefit here is this. The benefit of the rapture is that the rapture will remove the church from the earth before the great tribulation take place. Now, the tribulation, Jesus said this is going to be a time this world has never seen nor never ever will see again. There will be 21 judgments that will enter the tribulation, 7 seal judgments, 7 trumpet judgments, and 7 vial judgments. The rapture will remove the church. Another name for the tribulation is called the wrath of God. And the scripture says that we have not been appointed to the wrath of God. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, we have not been appointed to the wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 as well. Romans 5, 9, again, we're not appointed to the wrath. The tribulation is a whole different dispensation or time. God's going to use it to reach the nation of Israel. Luke 21, the Bible said, pray that you may escape the coming judgment. Revelation 3:10 talks about that we will escape the coming trial that's going to try the world. So if you're born again today, you will miss the rapture. I mean, miss the tribulation. You won't miss the rapture, you miss the tribulation. Okay? We have not been appointed to the time of great tribulation. Here's another benefit. I love this. The glorification of the resurrected and living saints. So here, this is when our body will change from mortal to immortality. I love this verse here in Philippians right here, Philippians 3:20 and 21. Paul wrote this. He says, for our conversation is in heaven from whence we look for the Savior. He said, who shall change this vile body that he might fashion it like unto his glorious body. See, when Jesus raptures, we're going to have a body just like his body. Remember when Jesus, he rose from the dead? He rose from the dead, and he told Thomas, come and touch me. Come and feel where I was pierced in my hand. Come, Thomas, put your finger in my side. They were able to touch his physical body, but it was a glorified body now, meaning it was a body that would never, ever die again. The same body that Christ have is the same body we're going to have. Now, another thing Jesus did in his glorified body, we're going to see in a few minutes, was just amazing. We'll have the same ability as Christ. But I give you these few verses in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John 6, verses 39 through 40, and Colossians 3, 4 talks about we receiving a new body, a glorified body, a body that would be like Christ's body. A glorified body. Now, let me just give you one other little definition about the glorification. I want to quote here Dr. John MacArthur. Listen to what he says about the glorification of the saints. When we are raptured, we will be glorified. But look what he says it is. The glorification is the instantaneous completion of the sanctifying process. This is the final aspect of God's saving work for the redeemed. It involves even the redemption of our body. He said, glorification means instantaneous Christ-likeness for all the saints. Now, let me explain what he said. He said that this is going to be the instantaneous completion of the sanctifying work. Let me explain. You're born again, right? Okay, you're washed in the blood. Your spirit man is saved. Your mind is renewed by the word of God. But your flesh is where the problem is right now. That's where the problem is. So when you're glorified, this is going to be the complete spirit, soul, and flesh. Then you're going to be exactly like Christ. We'll have a body exactly like his. This is the complete sanctifying process. That's why I'm telling you, saints, once you are raptured, you will no longer have the tempter within you ever again. The temptation is gone. It's removed. You have a body that's like Christ. This is one reason why Christ is going to use the saints to help him rule in the millennium, because we're going to have a body just like Christ. We won't have a tempter. See, Paul said today, right now, you have a war in your members. Your spirit lusts against the flesh. It's a war. I'll say it this way. How many this morning you got up this morning and that flesh said, you ought to stay home today? Come on. Preacher got a flesh want to stay home. I got to preach today. That's the war in my members. I said, devil, you a lie. I had to yield to the spirit and come today, Pastor. See, we got a war in our members that's going to be over at the time of the rapture. It won't be a struggle. It won't be a debate. It's going to flow out of us because we're glorified like him. Let me give one more benefit here, and I love this. I love this. Jesus gave us a wonderful example of the life of the glorified saint. Listen at this. After he was glorified, he did notable things in that glorified body. Now, I'm going to show you something. The body that Jesus has is the same body we're going to have after his resurrection. Now, it was a glorified body. He told Thomas, come and touch me so you can feel that body. You know, I'm going to say this. See, we made our eternity so spooky. We made it so spooky and so untouchable. But guess what? Our eternity is going to be a tangible, touchable, feelable eternity. We're going to have a glorified body that's a physical body just like Jesus' body. And let me show you something. Look what Jesus did after he was glorified. I love this. Jesus, this is John chapter 20, verse 18 through 20 and verse 26. Jesus entered the room without using doors. You remember that? Every episode after his resurrection, the scriptures point out the doors being shut. God did that for a reason. The doors being shut, and Jesus appeared among them. The disciples, man, they had that door barricaded, Pastor. They were afraid. They were scared of the Jews. So they were barricaded in that room, and the Bible said Jesus, he just came in the door. The Bible says, as he is, so shall we be at his appearing. We'll have the same ability, I believe, that Jesus had in that glorified body. Man, I'm gonna love just showing up on folks, Bishop. In the millennium, I'm just gonna show up on folks. Come on, man. Look at this. This is another thing Jesus did. Now, this next thing I'm gonna show you really got me excited. In his glorified body, look what Jesus also did. I love this. This is John chapter 21, 9 through 14, and Acts chapter 10, verse 38 through 40. Jesus ate in his glorified body. Man. I said, I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat in the glory. You know, when Jesus, after his glorification, he saw disciples out there. He's sitting, Pastor, on the side of the bank with some fish, frying fish. They had fish and chips, man. Jesus, come and dine, fellas. And you read these verses. These verses said that they fellowship and they ate with him. Jesus ate with them in that glorified body. See, again, our return is not spooky. It's not weird and bizarre. It's tangible, touchable. Right. Our eternity, even when we go into the new world. See, people think we're going to get heaven. We'll go to heaven. We'll get wings and we're going to fly. No, you won't. No wings. No wings. Right. People say, well, we become angels. You don't become angels. Listen, don't ever repeat that ever again. My loved one has become an angel. You know, if your loved one become an angel, that loved one is unredeemable. Jesus didn't die for angels. He died for humanity. I remember this lady said she saw feathers after the mother died. Every now and then she'd see feathers, and she said she believed that was her mother's wings. I said, nope, that's not your mother's wings. Your mother is not an angel. Your mother is still a saint. She's a born-again person. You know, she's not going to have wings. And, Pastor, I thought I was going to have wings, man. I was singing a song, man. I'm having wings, man. You know, in the church, man, singing. I'm thinking I'm having wings. No wings. No floating on clouds, eating Philadelphia cream cheese. Yeah, none of that. Unbiblical. We've made eternity so wacky that it's unbelievable. Our eternity is going to be tangible, touchable. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, are many dwelling places. Guess what? You're going to have an eternal home in the new world. But guess what? My home is going to have a doorknob on it, Pastor. You can come to my house and visit my house. I've been inviting Christians all over the country, come to Brother Perkins' house in the new world. I'm going to have a row of tomatoes and watermelons in the back. You can come. I'm going to have me two lions out front, Leo and Cleo out front. Yes, our eternity will be a physical eternity. You're not going to fly around heaven forever. No, you're going to be a part of the new heavens and new earth. And again, the glorification is going to start the process for us as the redeemed. So it's going to be beautiful for us. We're going to spend eternity forever. We'll eat and fellowship forever. It's going to be awesome. So I long for the glorification. Now, we're almost done. I got two more sections I'm going to give you, and we're going to come to a close. I want to show you now the difference between the rapture and the second coming. This has caused the confusion in the body of Christ today. But I'm going to start off with a quote here from Dr. Finis Dake. From his book, The Rapture and the Second Coming. Listen what Dr. Dake says. He says, as a young Bible student, 18 years of age, I used to become confused by the average minister's preaching on the second coming and the rapture. Almost without exception, these persons would refer to the rapture and the second coming as the same event, using both terms interchangeably of the one coming of Christ. There being, as they suppose, two parts, two stages, and two phases of the one coming. They would point to many signs of the second coming or the rapture and tell how the tribulation and the seven-year reign of Antichrist would have to take place before the second coming or the rapture. Then make a plea for persons not ready for the event to meet at the altar for prayer immediately. The reason being for such urgency was that the rapture could take place right now, tonight, perhaps even before they can come down to the altar. When I first started studying prophecy, Pastor, I mixed the rapture and second coming up. I mixed both events. Yeah, these are two different events. There are no signs for the rapture, but there are signs for the second coming. And people mix them up. So look what he goes on to say. He said, I could never reconcile the conflicting statements that there should be 7 years of tribulation and the reign of Antichrist before the coming of Christ, and yet it could happen tonight. What these teachers should have said was that the rapture and the second coming were two distinct subjects, the events being unrelated to each other, and that whereas the rapture could take place tonight, the second coming could not take place until after the tribulation and the last 7 years of this age, which would include the reign of Antichrist. It is still truth to teach that the rapture could take place now at any moment. That's imminence at any moment. As to the second coming or second advent, it must be understood that this event cannot take place until after the tribulation and the reign of Antichrist. In fact, all prophecies must be fulfilled in detail before the second coming. See, when the second coming takes place, it's a different event. It's a totally different event. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you the difference between both. So I'm going to bring them both into the screen and show you the difference. At the rapture of the church, Jesus is coming to gather the saints. We'll be caught up to be with him. At the second coming, Jesus is coming back with the saints. Revelation 19:14. At the rapture, Jesus would not touch the earth at that time. The Bible said we're going to meet him in the air. At the second coming, Jesus will touch the earth at this time. Zechariah 14:4 says his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olivet. At the rapture, Jesus is coming to raise the righteous dead. The dead in Christ going to rise first. At the second coming, though, Jesus is coming back as a man of war. You know something? At the second coming, Jesus is going to cause much death in the earth. He's going to cause much bloodshed. The Bible says there's going to be so much death and bloodshed that the blood will come up to the horses' bridles. Right. It's going to be a direct result of Jesus' return. The Bible says he's coming back with fire in his eyes. He's coming back as a man of war. Man have never seen Christ like that. At the rapture of the church, Jesus... the rapture will cause the great tribulation to begin. What I mean by that is this. The great tribulation cannot take place until we have been raptured. We've been caught up. Listen, don't let anybody tell you that we are in the seven seal judgments. There are a lot of videos online telling you that we're in the seven seals or we're in the sixth seal. Listen, we're not in any of the seals. You put us in the seals, we're in the tribulation. We're not in any of the seals. Okay? Once the church is raptured, then the tribulation can begin. Look at the second coming difference. At the second coming, it will cause the battle of Armageddon. Okay? And lastly here, at the rapture will allow the reign of Antichrist to begin. You know, as long as the church is here, Antichrist cannot come on the scene. As long as the church is here, he cannot be revealed. Okay? At the second coming, though, it will end the reign of Antichrist. The second coming is exclusive because it's going to bring an end to the seven-year reign of Antichrist. So the rapture and the second coming are two distinct events in prophecy. Now, I do have a chart on our table that shows both differences if you want to get it. I see a lot of you trying to write, but we do have it. Take a picture of the screen if you want to. You can have those verses there. But these are two distinct events, and because people have mixed up these comings, it has created so much problem in the church, okay? Now, quoting Dr. Tim LaHaye, he said, these two episodes, the rapture and the second coming are so different that it is impossible to combine them. One involves Jesus coming for the church. The other concerns the appearing, his appearance in power and judgment to the earth. So in the rapture, he's coming to grab the church up, but in his second coming, he's coming back as a man of war with fire in his eyes. He won't be that sweet little lamb. You slap his cheek in the second coming and he give you the other cheek. Oh, no, no. He's no longer riding donkeys. His donkey riding days are over too. In the second coming, he's coming back riding a white horse to take authority in the earth. Okay. Now, this is the last thing I want to give here. What should be our attitude? What should be your attitude regarding the rapture? How should this rapture teaching affect you as a Christian? How should you look for the rapture? You know, Bishop, I get this question all the time, and it's mostly from young people. How soon is the rapture? Because I'm not married yet. And I understand that. I do understand that. But I want to say to you, don't worry about it. Go and plan to be married. You found your right person, plan to be married. But in the event that the rapture take place, don't fall out about it. I mean, it's going to be exciting. Some people say, well, Brother Perkins, I'm building my house right now, my dream house. You know, if the rapture take place now, it's going to mess me up. Man, you're going to a better place, man. Listen to me, saints. Everything we have here has been contaminated by sin. Everything we have here, listen to this, it still has the curse on it. And what I mean by that is this. Pastor, Mother's Day coming up, okay? My wife, for years, I used to buy my wife carnations. I like pretty colors, man. They dye them all colors. I mean, for years. And my wife said, sweetheart, I mean, for years. She said, I don't like carnations. I said, what? I said, well, what do you like? She said, I like roses. I've been buying her roses for ever since. But I'm going to show you something. You know the rose? Before I give those roses to my wife, you know what they do, Pastor? They dethorn them. They take the thorns. You know the thorn shows you the curse? See, everything we have here is cursed. Everything is dying, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. Buy a brand new car, put it in the garage. Don't drive it for 10 years and go back and see how much that car has decayed. It's part of a dying world, okay? We're going to a new world. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't enjoy stuff. I mean, God wants you to enjoy what he's blessed you with, but don't have all your affections there. Now, we're going to close with these verses here. What should be the attitude regarding the rapture? Number one, Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians 1:17, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you waiting for him? See, when you're waiting for him, you got a relationship. Pastor, my wife is waiting for me to come home. I got a relationship with her. Now, normally she would be with me. I want to say it. Normally she's with me. She was a little under the weather. She kissed our new grandbaby that had a cold, and grandma got the cold. But she would normally be here. But right now, she's waiting on me. I'm going to go home and take care of my wife. You need to wait for the Lord. That means relationship. Right. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians 10:1, and to wait for the Son from heaven. Titus 2, he said, looking for the blessed hope. Right. Are you looking for him? Are you looking for Jesus' return? Or will Jesus mess up your plans? It shows relationship. It shows relationship. Philippians 3:20, he said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking for him? Listen, I can't wait to meet him. I can't wait to spend time with him. Look at this one, John, 1 John 3:3. He said, and every man that have this hope, the hope of the rapture, the hope of his return, every man that have this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Listen, if you understand the rapture, it's a purifying hope. What that means is this, it will keep you on the straight and narrow. I can tell when a Christian don't know the future by the way they live in the present. People tell me all the time, you prophecy guys are so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I say, nope, that's incorrect. I say, we are heavenly minded that we are earthly good. You know, when you understand the future, it makes you a more productive citizen today. Let me tell you, I'm a good person because I got a future. Amen. Listen, man, you can get an elevator with me because I got a future. What I mean by that, people look at you and they go, oh, and they have, I say, listen, I'm one of the most honest people you can trust because I got a future. Listen, I would never hurt you. I would love you. I would give you the best. I would pray for you. See, people have these weird ideas about the present, and therefore they live all weird and wacky. When you understand the future, it's a purifying hope. And here's the last verse I want to give you. 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul wrote this. He said, henceforth, listen at this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, listen at this, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Listen, if you love his appearing, the Bible says you have a crown. Pastor, at the judgment seat, my brother was singing today about the crown. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to obtain a crown. There's a crown for those that love the appearing of Christ. I'm going to have one of those crowns because I'm loving and longing for his appearing. Lord, I long for you to return. Lord, you can interfere with my day. You can stop my business. Lord, you can rapture me right while I'm preaching. Lord, you can get me right when I'm about to enjoy my favorite meal. You can come right then, Lord. I'm ready. Listen. We're longing, we're looking for him. So this is the rapture of the church. And every one of us who are born again will be affected by it, all right? I want you to bow your hearts as we close this morning. Father God, we love you. And again, what a privilege, what an honor it is, dear God, as we stand before you. Lord, we serve a true and living God. Lord, I pray today that we've shared something in this message, dear God, that has stirred the hearts of your people. Lord, I pray to God that it has given us some clarity about this blessed hope of the rapture. Lord, it will affect everyone who's here today. Even those that are not saved, it will affect them because they'll be left behind. As I give this prayer while all heads are bowed, I want to say to you, the Bible says this. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I want to say to you that if you're not born again, don't leave this place without Jesus. If you're not born again, you will not be raptured if it took place right now. But today you have a choice to make, and simply by receiving him, Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon him, they shall be saved. While all heads are bowed, you say, Brother Perkins, I realize today I'm not a Christian, but I want to be saved. I want to submit my life to Jesus. I want to receive him. If that's you, I would love to pray a simple prayer of salvation today, and Jesus will give you life. Simply raise your hand. Brother Perkins, pray for me that I receive Christ. I want to know that I know that I know I'm born again. Is there anyone? You're not sure. You're not a Christian, but you want to be. Is there anyone today? Is there anyone today? Well, Lord, today we're here with the family of God. And Lord, I pray, bless your people today. Lord, let this word go deep in our spirit. Let it produce life. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we bless this house in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God good, saints? Amen. Amen. Pastor. Thank you, sir.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.